This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Private military contractors have done much of the work for the United States in Iraq, and now one of those contractors is accused of overcharging the U.S. Occupation Authority. The company is called Custer Battles, and it's based in Virginia. Two of its former associates have filed a lawsuit. They accuse the company of using a billing scheme to defraud the government. One of the issues is whether people working for the occupation authority in Iraq were legally working for the U.S. government at all. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
Bob Isaacson's story sounds like a Tom Clancy novel. It all starts in Iraq just after the fall of Saddam Hussein. His company, Alabama-based DRC, was a subcontractor to Custer Battles in a $16.8 million contract from the Coalition Provisional Authority to provide security at the Baghdad International Airport.
We began to mobilize it immediately. It had a very short period of time to mobilize, just several days, to mobilize security guards and camps and security equipment, construction, things of this nature.
Custer Battles was a young company founded by former Army Rangers Scott Custer and Michael Battles, who had come to Iraq on borrowed money. In an August Wall Street Journal article, Battles, a former Republican candidate for Congress, said he only had $450 cash when he convinced an official to put Custer Battles on the list of bidders for the airport security contract. They promised to get the job done fast and won the contract, which included two upfront cash advances of $2 million each. Isaacson, a former FBI agent, says about 2 weeks into the job, something went awry.
They approached me to participate in a scheme to defraud the government.
He says it involved bidding for cost-plus contracts, which guarantee payment for a contractor's actual costs, plus an agreed-to profit margin.
They would take and open a company in Lebanon and buy the materials through the Lebanese company, which they would own, and then the Lebanese company would sell it to their American company at a highly inflated rate, and then they would charge their profit on top of the highly inflated rate. In other words, they would make a profit plus another profit.
Isaacson says he refused to go along and warned company officials that such a plan could land them in jail. The next day at the airport camp, Isaacson claims, Custer Battles security guards cornered him in a hallway at gunpoint. His brother and 14-year-old son were there, too.
They said, "You're terminated and you're under arrest and don't move or we'll shoot you."
Isaacson says the guards took their weapons and ID badges and eventually turned them out of the airport compound, where they made the dangerous journey from Baghdad to the Jordanian border. Isaacson has filed a $70 million civil lawsuit against Custer Battles in Alabama over the ordeal. But he is also party to a $50 million federal lawsuit filed in Virginia under the False Claims Act, a law dating back to the Civil War which allows whistleblowers to recover money for the U.S. Treasury in alleged fraud cases and get a percentage of what they win. The other whistleblower in that suit is Pete Baldwin, a former country manager for Custer Battles in Iraq, who now runs another firm there. Baldwin also describes a web of false billing practices designed to inflate costs and boost company profits. He cites a deal to provide forklifts on a security detail.
They confiscated old Iraqi Airways green and white forklifts and transported them out of the airport facility, which Custer Battles had control over, and painted them blue and then sold them back to the government on a lease. That's a blatant example where something was actually acquired free and sold back to the government.
Baldwin took his suspicions to government investigators and eventually quit over the company's billing practices. Now, Baldwin claims his life has been threatened because of his actions. The Pentagon has suspended Custer Battles from receiving further military contracts, and sources say a federal criminal investigation of Custer Battles is ongoing. But a civil probe ended in October when the U.S. Justice Department declined to join in the whistleblower case. A spokesman says the agency won't discuss why, but whistleblower attorney Alan Grayson says a U.S. attorney explained it to him.
The reason they gave to us is that the Bush administration has made a policy decision that cheating the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq, basically the military, and for the most part the U.S. military, is not the same as cheating the U.S. government.
Grayson says it's hard to understand the decision given the evidence against Custer Battles, witnesses from inside the company, actual invoices they claim are false, and an internal company memo in which a manager warns he found, quote, enormous areas of discrepancies and irregularities that lend themselves to criminal fraud. Custer Battles claims the allegations are baseless and come from disgruntled former employees and current competitors. Attorney Jack Basie says the firm was simply trying to deliver in a war zone.
We are confident that the facts will show that those are not criminal acts. They were not even civil fraudulent acts. They were acts of people trying to get a job done.
But the case may never get to that point, depending on how the courts interpret the False Claims Act and whether it applies to the interim agency set up to govern Iraq. Custer Battles is seeking to have the case dismissed.
The funds came from Iraqi funds. These are not United States funds. Any losses, and we vigorously dispute that there were any losses, but any losses were not to the United States government, and the contracts were not entered into with the United States. They were entered into with the Coalition Provisional Authority, which the government has made quite clear is not a federal agency.
In my view, it's a hyper-technical defense that may very well be effective.
New York attorney Neil Getnick specializes in fraud cases. He says this one raises a significant question amid concerns about the often no-bid environment in which companies like Halliburton have received billions in contracts to rebuild Iraq.
And therefore, it's particularly problematic if it turns out that after a process was established favoring U.S. companies and favoring a limited subset of U.S. companies, it turns out there's some type of technical jurisdictional bar that absolves these companies of potential guilt under the U.S. laws. That's very troubling.
The Custer Battles case has drawn the attention of several government watchdog groups. Patrick Burns is with Taxpayers Against Fraud.
Essentially, a war is being fought in which there's almost no accountability whatsoever in this government contractor arena. And I think the Custer Battles case is a perfect example of that.
Burns is alarmed that the Justice Department declined to participate in the whistleblower's lawsuit.
This is one of the very first cases dealing with fraud in Iraq. And I think it's very bad for the U.S. government on this first case to sort of suggest that it's going to take a pass when the evidence is so very clearly damning. And my fear is that they're signaling that, in fact, they are going to go soft on war profiteering.
Because they are automatically under seal by law, there's no way to know how many similar Iraq contractor fraud cases are pending. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.